Blog Talk Radio.
A sinner's prayer. A sinner's prayer. A sinner's prayer.
Deliver us from evil.
God bless you. God bless you. Good afternoon. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and you're listening to Global Gospel. We thank God, Dietrich Haddon. I'm so glad that God still hears a sinner's prayer. And we have to remember that we are sinners saved by God's grace. For Ephesians 2 and 8 lets us know, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And so God, in his infinite love for us and his loving kindness, God thought fit to save us. And so we are reminded of that through the words of that song, God Hears a Sinner's Prayer. Then we know that we can call on God in times of trouble. Once again, you're listening to Global Gospel. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and that means it is the 1 p.m. hour on Saturday. And we're grateful to God to be here again in the land of the living just to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news and glad tidings, to share with you some good gospel Christian music so that someone is encouraged and uplifted on this afternoon. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors to log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel, and there you will find us until the 2 p.m. hour. We want you to know that we do not own the rights to any of the music here. Also, if you need to contact us, we are on social media. We are on Facebook, on Instagram. We are on Twitter. And certainly you can reach out to us on any of those websites and click on the link, or you can find words of encouragement throughout the week. We just want you to share with everyone out there. If you need to contact us, you can contact us at P.O. Box 5331, Hempstead, New York. Our zip is 11550. If you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 481-3187. If you would like to send us an email, you can email us at globalgospel17@gmail.com. Those are all the ways that you can reach out to us. Certainly, once again, we are excited about being here. It's a hot Saturday afternoon, but we are grateful to God that we are here to share with you. Our theme scripture here at Global Gospel, if you're tuning in for the first time, comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That is our theme scripture, and if you read down further, it'll tell you in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So we want you to be encouraged on this afternoon. Be inspired. Be uplifted, knowing that the gospel is the good news and glad tidings of Jesus Christ. The gospel is comprehensive. The gospel saves, it heals, it delivers, and it sets free. Whatever you need is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just want to shout out all of our listeners. Those of you that are listening, we have listeners in Norway, in the Netherlands, in France, Nigeria, Kenya, India, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Jamaica, West Indies, and also here in the United States, in the North, the South, the East and West. We thank God for you, to our faithful listeners, Marlon, Brother DC, Alana, Randy, Brother Deacon Norman, to all of you that continue to listen in every week. We thank God for each and every one of you. We do have a special guest today, and today we're going to be talking about Don't Forget About Me. So we'll be back in a few minutes. We are going to take a break. We are going to listen to a little bit of Daryl Coley. And after that, we'll be back with our very special guest, and we will be talking more about our topic, Daryl Coley, When the Music Stops. Stay tuned and be blessed.
And this next just goes right into the thought of when the music stops, I've got to live the life that I sing about in my song.
When I live my song, when the band goes out, when I live my song.
When the band goes home, I'm all alone. When the music stops.
When the music stops, Darryl Coley. And today, as I promised, our special guest is here in studio live with us. Say hello to our special guest.
Hello, everybody. How are you today?
We are blessed. We can't complain. How are you?
I can't complain. God has been good. I'm glad to be able to have a voice this morning. About a month ago, I wouldn't have been able to talk. So I'm glad to be able to have vocality today.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And we thank God that, and we know that God is a healer. And we thank God that you're able to share with us on this Saturday afternoon. So those of you who didn't read the headline or you didn't recognize the voice, that is none other than Elder Pastor Christopher Collender. Amen. So, Pastor, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Pastor Chris Collender. I am the pastor of the Emerging Church Free Grace Worship Center, a small church with a big heart, located in Hempstead. We share a facility with Pastor Thelma Johnson from the Hobus, 232 Front Street, Hempstead, New York. And we hold our services at 8 a.m. I'm also a community advocate, entrepreneur, author of a book, and looking to release about three more. I won't say very soon, but soon in Divine Five, and just need to tighten up a couple of things there. And I guess really I'm just, you know, a person who just loves God, loves people, and, you know, just tries to live life forward.
All right. So as you said, he wears many hats, and we know that he is a great preacher, teacher, author, as he said. And I actually, we'll come back to the book a little later. You have a heart for ministry and a heart for people. And as our topic suggests today, don't forget about me. And so many times, people forget about other people because they're so wrapped up and involved in their own personal success. And certainly that's never a good place to be, and that's not where Christ wants us to be. And, you know, as I posted today, one of our main theme scripture comes from James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. So pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So tell us, as we know, you are the pastor of Free Grace. Tell us some of the things that you are doing to show love and to show Christ in the community.
God has been really faithful to us. We've been in the Hempstead community, or returned to the Hempstead community for about 2 years. And we've had great opportunity to just do some street, to do a lot of street evangelism, and kind of adopted, like other churches and other pastors in the area, Terrace Avenue. So we've had a great opportunity to work on Terrace Avenue, 100 Terrace Avenue. We hold a weekly Bible study there. God opened up a door for us to come into the community room, and one of the residents, who is also a parishioner, opened up the door for us to come and do a weekly Bible study. And we do what we call a community prayer every fourth Wednesday of the month from 7 to 8:30. We've had an opportunity to feed, oh my God, countless people. There's about 450 units in this particular complex, not including those that are on the others that are across the street on Terrace Avenue. That opportunity to go out witnessing in the last 2 years, every Friday night. This year we've kind of taken a different approach and a different initiative, but we've gone out and we've done community feedings, community interaction, adopted some youth in the area, done some community advocacy, walked up and down the streets of Hempstead, just sharing the love of God, inviting people to be reconciled to God, because there are a lot of people who have been disenfranchised from the nominal church and have, you know, experienced what we would consider church hurt. Maybe not so much realistically, but at least in their perception, they have been hurt. We have just attempted to be a voice of reconciliation, to be a voice of love. And just show people that it's not about religion, but it's about relationship. And so we've had an opportunity to, be a what we call a community pastor. Sometimes people don't have a church. Because they don't have a church, they don't have a pastor. But the Bible says that Jesus saw the multitude and had compassion upon them and saw the people that did not have a shepherd. It wasn't that they did not have a church, but they had need of a shepherd. And so we've attempted and continue to reach out as a community shepherd so that if people never come to church, we've given them a card, we've shared with them information. Hey, when you get in trouble, if you're in need, let us know. And it does not mean that we'll be able to meet every nominal or every monetary need of every individual. But there is also there are many times other factors that go into why people are in the situation that they're in. And sometimes if we listen with a divine ear and a heart of compassion, which is the key to any evangelistic ministry, then God will give us opportunity whereby we can impart some other tools. You know, Paul is, I'll close with this and let our moderator go, but it comes to mind when Peter says to the man that's laying at the gate called Beautiful, he says, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto you." And so there's so much that we have in our toolbox, that we have available to us that we don't utilize because we are short-sighted in that what we have available to us. And we always think it's one thing or the other, but God has blessed us with a big toolbox of ministry that we can do and help others.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. So as you travel, the street and in doing evangelism and ministry, and I do know that you have also evangelized in other parts of the world as well. What seems to be something that people are, what is some of the struggles that people are facing that seem to just keep them from connecting and having that relationship as you talked about?
Well, in terms of the relationship between us and them or between them and us? There's two barriers.
What's keeping people away from God and having that personal relationship
I don't know if it's that people, one of my pastoral big brothers, who's also in Hempstead, Dr. Charles Roberts from the Salvation Army, said something to me that shifted my paradigm. We're not bringing faith to people. People already have faith. They have faith.
Okay.
That allows them to live in the hood, faith, to do what they need to do, faith, and so many things. And a lot of times we presumptuously think that people are not connected to God, and their relationship may not have the formal, formality of what we know as, again, religion or church. Most people believe in God. It's not about belief, and there are those who don't believe, but because sometimes they have seen, not even so much seen things in the church, but have experienced things in their lives. You know, the death of a loved one can cause you to be angry with God. Economic deprivation can cause you to question whether there is God. Being a victim of substance abuse or growing up in certain environments they make you doubt the validity of God because they say, well, how could God allow me to experience these things? Where was God when this happened? Someone said to me the other day, and just sharing with me that someone told them when they were 12 years old, the reason why their father died was because God needed him more than he did. And for that reason, he said, "I'm out." He did Shark Tank and said, "I'm out." You know, the reasoning did not make sense. The explanation did not justify what was happening.
It didn't appeal to his human need.
it didn't appeal to his human need. And I think a lot of times we miss people in their humanity, and we don't allow our humanity. The whole purpose for Jesus coming is to become like us, so he can be a high priest that could be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's the feeling of our infirmity. That right there is enough to just see lie. The feeling of our infirmity, not to condemn us, not that we don't need to, you know, there's not a message to sin, but the message of sin is not necessarily to the sinner. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But the fact that he's touched, you know, we can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity is so crucial, so you know that we get that we make that connection with people. And so I think overall, what I've encountered in the streets, what I've encountered, and evangelism across the world is a little different. They believe in God, and they're very gung ho. They're very responsive. You know, I've had the opportunity to minister in Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad, Africa. I've had the opportunity. Their response is not the same as ours. But that happens to do with the fact that they have no other choice but to trust God. For them, God is everything. They understand, like the natives, the native Indians, that hey, he's the one that makes the rain possible. So he's the one that provides our daily needs. Here, it's a little different because we're in a capitalistic society. It's a little different, and we are inundated with religion. We're inundated with churches. We're inundated with images that are not congruent with our message. And it's not that people are looking for us to be perfect, but we're dirty. We air out our dirty laundry, you know, and then we expect you to come people to a place where the dirt is. Like, really? You know, that's another story, right? That's but the main thing that I found is that people are looking to be connected. There's so much guilt. There's so much unworthiness. There's so much lack of confidence. There's so much self persecution and the gulf between whether they can come. And that's one of my biggest challenges, because, you know, growing up in church and being a church kid and being a church boy, sort of speaking, even though I have I always call myself I'm wild at heart. Most people will say that, you know, that know me. But the truth of the matter is I'm often lost for words, and I'm always asking God how to connect. How do I let my love be seen? And not necessarily in terms of a handout, but how do I let the genuineness of who you are in my life be seen, felt as authentic, so that people can come to Jesus? If they never come to church, which has its own message and own validity and own, I can't think of the word, it's escaping this in my head, but has its own setting and appropriateness and necessity, the truth of the matter is that if they never come to church, they still should be able to come to Jesus. We don't see people following Jesus to the temple. We see Jesus, people following Jesus to the where he was preaching the word. So he didn't leave. You never see Jesus telling people to go to the temple. He doesn't hold his biggest meetings in the temple. He holds his biggest meetings on the hills of Galilee, on the seas of, you know, of Capernaum. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He holds his meetings in the community.
He had an open air ministry.
Open air.
Yeah.
Open air, open heart, open hand. Let's do it that way. Open air, open heart, open hand. Open air, open heart, open hand.
Right. And you know what, so basically what you're saying is that people have to see Christ in us, you know, that our light should shine, that they see Christ in us, and that God would be glorified, which is in heaven. And so many times we have to check ourselves to make sure that we are expressing Christ in our actions, in our words, in our deeds. And that's how so many people get, as you said, we don't want to talk about that because that's a whole other story. That's why people get turned off from church, because people say one thing and then they do another thing, and that just causes so much conflict. And people say, well, if that's what it's all about, I don't want to be like that, you know, because there is a realness in people that we say that aren't inside of the church, they have another kind of realness, you know. So they are,
yeah.
They're 100% what they are, you know, and you can't, you have to respect people for who they are. So, you know, that's another factor that comes into place too, I believe, is respect. And a lot of times people lack respect, and that's how we're not able to draw others to Christ. I want to take a break on that note. Our number here in studio, if you'd like to call in, shout us out, or if you have a question, you can call at 619-924-0800. 619-924-0800. The Walls Group, on that note, has a song that says "Friend in Me." And I want you to stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
What's going on, my boy? It's been a while since the last time we called up. I see you walking with your head held down, waiting. Life has got your shoulders hanging to the ground. But that's okay, cause life can hurt sometimes. God gave you someone to help you.
Lamar Townsend, and our special guest in studio today is Pastor Elder Christopher Collender, and we are talking about Don't Forget About Me. And the Walls Group just suggested you have a friend in me, and so many times we don't show ourselves friendly, but he that wants friends must show himself friendly. And certainly we not have to only show ourselves friendly, but we have to show Christ to other people, and we have to be an example in the world that we go out, and when we're at work, when we're at home, when we're with our neighbors, when we're with our friends, when we're on the bus or the train, wherever we are to let our light shine. Pastor Collender, so
yes, sir.
As you're ministering out there, you know, I know that you also work with young people, and you mentor them. And what would you like to let us know about mentorship?
You know what, I think I pivot off of your James 1:27. Because as I looked at the text and just, extrapolated some of what I felt was key points or to ministry and to God's perspective about ministry, and for people that got good religion. Got good religion? Yeah.
Certainly, Lord.
That God, the Bible says that the scripture says religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Before we get to the keeping oneself unpolluted by the world, because that's a whole other conversation, but it is attached to this text. So it is relative to perspective and relative to approach and relative to process. He says to look after the orphan, to look after, and that word there means to actually to become involved with, to look at it, because the cross reference is Matthew 25 and 36. I needed clothes. You clothed me. I was sick. You looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me. So there is a practical engagement that happens in mentorship, or looking after these young people, and he goes on to talk about the widows or those who have no husband or nobody to fend for them, nobody to provide for them. It is our ministry in terms of mentorship is very must be hands-on. It involves resources. You know, it's amazing how the drug dealers that I encounter come across who call me pastor, who say, listen, I understand you're reaching out to these young people. Let me sow a seed to that. And even some people say, well, that's dirty money. Well, I can mess you up with that, but I won't even go there either because that's another topic. But in any case, whose earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they understand that it takes finance. It takes resources. It takes engagement. It takes time. It takes time. It takes talent. You know, being a resident of Queens and yet called to pastor in the Hempstead, you know, has its challenges because these are young men who need to be touched very frequently, who are left unmonitored, who are orphans in that they have no direct nurture or care for them. And so, you know, when you're dealing with mentorship, it means that you've got all hands on deck. It means all resources are pulled out. I can't tell them I can't afford it. I can't tell them I don't have it. Because if I don't have it, then there's somebody else who does and will provide for, you know, who will offer an alternative means of provision. And then that becomes a challenge to what you're trying to accomplish. Oh, you know, but, you know, you can't put Jesus into people that are hungry. You can't put Jesus into people that have no clothes. You can't put Jesus into people that have no education. You can't put Jesus into people. You can't do it. You can't put him in them. You can preach them to them, but you cannot put it in them. But it requires us being able to be touched, to be handled, to be seen, and then to touch, to handle, and see. You know, in my mentorship, one of the challenges is not having men. You know, people talk about, oh, I'm available. People talk about, oh, when you need me, call me. People talk about, but these young men need commitment. They need to know that, hey, when I reach out, you will respond. When I need you, you are there. We did a whole YouTube video on one of the young men by the name of Shamar Jackson. I have permission to say his name. And the whole video is about the need for nurture, because they're fighting their nature. Their nature says they should be this. Their nature is telling them that they should go this way. Their nature is driving them wild. Their nature is in contradistinction to their purpose and their future. And so they need someone that can nurture them. And you can't nurture from afar. You can't nurture from a distance. You can't nurture from a pulpit. You got to nurture by becoming hands-on, coming alongside, breaking bread. That's why Jesus spent so much time eating with his disciples. So much time walking with his disciples, so much time fellowshipping with his disciples. We are great at religion. We're great at church. We are bad when it comes to fellowship and to relationship and to coming alongside people in their development. And so these young men, when I look at them, you know, my heart bleeds because I'm only one man. And I believe that I make a big difference. I'm only one man. And so the challenge is having people that say, you know what, hey, I may not belong to your church, but you know what? I see the need. And don't try to undermine what somebody else is doing. You know, that's another issue. But again, you know, but really come alongside and say, hey, I'm a help. You know, maybe I can't be there, but you know what? Let me fund this trip for them. Let me you know, I have a house in Hempstead. Let's open up and put them in the backyard. People talk about evangelism. People preach all of that stuff. Again, not that their works are ineffective, not that they're not sincere, but I think we miss a lot of what God says is good religion. To look after orphans and widows. That means they're our responsibility. In their distress, these people are distressed. These kids are in distress. Oh, they don't want to be saved. They don't want to hear Jesus. They are in distress. And when you are in distress, you are irrational. When you're in distress, you're not thinking clearly, huh? When you're in distress, and then it talks about to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Well, the world says fend for yourself. The world says you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. The world says that, you know, you know, it's not about you, it's about me. The world says don't trust people. The world says don't stick your hand out, you're going to get burned. The world says don't love because you're only going to get hurt. So being polluted by the world is not only in terms of the contamination of sin, but it's also the contamination of the world's mindset in terms of reaching out to people like the orphans and the widows.
And the world says a lot of things, but what the world says is not necessarily true. And then one of the things we grow up hearing saying, oh, the world has nothing to offer. Not true. Not true. The world has a lot to offer. It may not be the right thing, but it does have something to offer. You know, so there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. So it might, what the world is offering might seem right to you, but it's not the right thing for you, or the end of it is not the right thing. And it just because it doesn't, you know, kill you immediately, or it doesn't kill you today or tomorrow, it doesn't mean that the long-term effects of what you're being offered or what you're giving into won't kill you, if not naturally, spiritually. So I think what you said is very important about being hands-on, taking a hands-on approach to ministry. And so many people think, like you said, they think it's all about Sunday morning, being in the pulpit, this, that, the other, but it's so much more to being a gospel preacher. There's so much more to being a Christian or a believer in Jesus Christ, and so much more to ministry and evangelism than just taking a text and proceeding from there. And so we're grateful that you recognize that. And we're coming to the close of the hour, but I want to get this in. You did offer a book, Fit for Life, I believe, right?
Yes, Fit for Life.
Yes, and I think I was at the book signing or release or something. That was a few years ago.
Yes,
at
you were my friend.
The library.
You were there. You were my friend, yes.
Yeah. I try to support if I can. But tell our listeners a little about your book.
Fit for Life, right? You know, it's so funny, as I thought about it, I was like, he has me talking about a book that was done in 2010.
Everything is still relevant.
So,
still relevant.
It is still relevant. It's still relevant. Fit for Life was something that was just birthed out of, you know, the ministry of Bishop Ronald H. Carter, a message that he had preached one evening in Queens at Bishop Joseph Williams Church. It was just an honor. It was something that was really birthed to honor the words of a father, you know, spiritual dad. And out of that, just it just gave birth to just expression of living life in the 3D, or living life, living your best life, which is, I think, okay, the next book that I'm working on. But Fit for Life was about, you know, being the journey of discovery of being your best self. Physically fit, financially secure, mentally alert, spiritually empowered, and that it is a journey of becoming. The best part of life, I still believe it, even though sometimes I'm tempted to change it, the best part of life is not the arrival. It is the journey. It is the serendipitous journey of becoming, the setbacks, the challenges. I mean, I've always been what they call a portly kind of guy. I would love to have a six-pack. I mean, I've come close maybe one time, twice in my life. But listen, I'm a foodie. And there's a part of me that just enjoys being who I am. But the part of the greatest part of the journey of being, you know, of spirituality, of mental acuteness, spiritual uplifting and physicalities is just the journey of becoming, being able to keep while I live. David said, while I live, I lift up my hands in your name. So Fit for Life was designed to get people moving, get people motivated, get people to understand that no matter where you are in the process of life, we all have challenges, we all have setbacks, we all have things that we need to improve, adjust, empower, celebrate yourself where you are. Get the tools that you need to go forward. While you live, you can lift up your hands in your name. That is not only in praise, but that's in purpose. I'm always pursuing, always becoming. And so I take some biblical principles, some personal anecdotes, and some business paradigms, being an entrepreneur, being, you know, a multi-homeowner, things that I did not have the natural equipment for. I might change that, but I did not have the necessarily the nurture for, and had some things that were in deep-seated nature of my spirit, that, you know, through the Word of God, through prayer, through relationship with God, through mom, you know, and through different voices, was able to kind of get some tools whereby I could dig out some things. And so I try to get people to understand that no matter where you are, you can change, you can improve, you can move forward, you can live fit for life. And being fit for life means being able to meet every challenge that life comes, because life is not easy. Anybody that tells you that life is easy is lying to you. It will blindside you. It will sideswipe you. It will fall out from under you. It'll fall on your head. All of those things. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. It does not. God is not trying to punish somebody because they didn't speak to you. God is not working against us. He's working for us. He's not causing it to rain because you didn't. Because you don't like me. Rain is just a part of the equation of the weather that God already put into existence from Genesis chapter 1, and when He put the sun and the moon. He's not pulling the weather for you individually. He's not doing that. If He does that, then it's because of a greater purpose that He wants to show and demonstrate. But in any case, life will happen for all of us, and we can't predict. We don't have the ability to predict it. The Bible says, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to right choices, right decisions, right knowledge, right information. There's some things the doctor can't do, and there's some things the doctor can do. Both God and science are working in harmonious. I don't know what word I want to use, but they're operating in harmony to get you well. Harmonious healing, huh? And so God is not intimidated by science, and science is not intimidated by God. They both come from God and are of God.
So true. And I think one of the most important things you said is live, and that in whatever it is, you know, we have to live through it. And if you don't allow others to kill you off, if you don't kill yourself, you can live through it. And tomorrow, there's always more hope tomorrow. You know, never give up hope. I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there? Caller? Okay, maybe not. Okay. But, you know, like you said, fit for life and becoming. I think I heard Oprah say that when she was interviewing Michelle Obama about her book, and she kept talking about becoming and how, you know, everyone and everything is always constantly evolving. And like you said, that is one of the things that we do miss. We want everything. We want fairy tale endings. We want fairy tale lives. But the truth of the matter is that man born of a woman has but a few days. And they are full of trouble. And the Bible says even they that live godly will suffer persecution. So these things are going to happen to us, but we have to live through it. And certainly we can't forget about others. We have about 10 minutes left. We're coming to the close of the hour. We're going to take a brief break. Our number in studio, 619-924-0800. If perhaps you missed the first part of the show or any part of the show, just be reminded that the show is archived immediately following the show, which ends in about 10 minutes. You can go back and listen to the whole thing all over again. You can listen to it tomorrow. You can listen to it next week. When we come back, Pastor Colander is going to give a shout-out to a few people, give you his service times, and close us out in prayer. This song simply says, faith. I have the faith that can conquer anything. Stay tuned. Apparently, you have had faith and you've exercised your faith through ministry and continue to exercise your faith as you travel this road. Who would you like to shout out this afternoon?
I don't know. Well,
everybody,
I'll shout out my mom.
Everybody.
I'll shout out Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. No, I'll shout out my mom. I tell you, one of the most powerful people that I know in terms of evangelism, internationally, domestically, from a child, she put a track in my hand, cultivated that heart for outreach. I remember 7, 8, 9 years old, being on the street. I remember being in, you know, in Catholic school, beating up the nun, telling her that Jesus is Lord. I tell you, so I sure want to shout out my mom. You know, Fit for Life, like I said, you know, goes out to Bishop Carter. That was my, guess my legacy and tribute to him. I'm grateful for all the free grace. My church, like I said, small church with a big heart. A shout out to you too. I appreciate you having me on the show. We've been friends for many years, and I'm grateful for that. And just a shout out to all the people that have been a blessing and a curse. Thank you so much for all that you have done. I tell you. You know what? You got to know me to love me, because you know I mean no harm. I'm just being as crazy as I want to be. But that's, again, that's a part of life. You know what? You got to live life. Be who you are. You can't change your personality. You can improve your character, but you cannot change your personality. And so, you know, I like to have fun. I like to be crazy. I like to be, I don't know the word I want to use again. But, you know, those are things that just to have fun. But I appreciate, love everybody. Shout out to the people of God, people that are in the trenches. That's what I want to shout out. To the pastors that are faithful, to the pastors that are in the trenches, to the pastors that pastor, the many and the few, the pastors that have nobody to pastor, but a walk, just believe God. You know, one of my most encouraging moments when I get discouraged is Noah preached to 8 souls so that they can get saved. For 120 years, I believe. And he was faithful to it. So keep on building the ark, pastors. Keep on doing the work of God. The kingdom is must be enlarged, because if hell is enlarged in itself and grace is greater than our sin, then the church and the kingdom has to be doubling up. So I know people say we're shrinking and our numbers are going down, but that does not mean that our impact, is supposed to be lessened. I heard the storm coming in. Does not mean that our impact has to be lessened. So I'm not convinced that our time is up and that we are being replaced. I am convinced that we must become diligent to the labor.
Yes. So we once again, we thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing with us. And we encourage you all, if you're not church, if you're free tomorrow, 8 a.m., right?
8 a.m. to 9, 15 the latest. 9 a.m. is really 8 to 9. We're doing our power, and we get it all in. We get the word in. We get the praise in. We get the offering in. We get the prophetic in, all of it. You know why? Because we cut out the fluff, and we just stay to the toughness of God's worship and to the God's praise. So listen, if you got 8 a.m., be there 8 a.m., 232 Front Street. Don't have to dress up. Come on, come on, come on. And let God minister to you and bless you. We love you. We're praying for you.
Yes. And just close us out with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you that you are faithful to your word, and you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Father, we thank you because, as the title of this episode, Don't Forget About Me. Father, help us not to forget our neighbor. For who is our neighbor? Father, help us to contemplate who our neighbor is. Father, the neighbor is he that does the will of the Father. The neighbor is he that has need of me. The neighbor is that person that, Lord, that you have called us to. Father, we thank you that, Lord, there are many orphans and widows that have need of a Savior, that have need of an advocate, that have need of someone to help them out of their distress. Father, I pray that you continue to bless this program and let the message of the word of God and the kingdom of God be propagated by your servant. Father, we pray that those that have a mind and an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Change our mindset. Give us the right mind about what labor is, because labor is not just communication, but labor means that my hands, my heart, and my mind, my resources must be involved. We bless you. We honor you and give in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you to all our listeners once again for listening to Global Gospel. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend. Our special guest was Pastor Elder Christopher Collender, Free Grace Worship Center in Hempstead, Long Island, New York. Thank you. Stay tuned. Remember to tune in every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember that all our shows are archived. Until we meet again, God bless you. And remember the Great Commission. Pastor Shirley Caesar, go ye therefore.
You love me, really love me, see my sheep. If you love me, really love me, see my sheep. Jesus had tabernacled here for 40 days. It was nearing the time that he must go back to the Father, and the Bible gives us to know that one day, out on a lonely hill with 11 disciples standing around him, no doubt one of the disciples said, Lord, must you go? Jesus said, if I go, not the comforter will not come, but in the meantime, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But I want you to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things.
Go,
go, go.